So as we begin this evening, we're going to be talking about a word, a very specific word. You know, words are very important, but as time goes on, words change in meaning sometimes. Sometimes the way we use them is not even correct. We use the word love quite frequently. Yeah. We might say, I love pizza. Or, I love a particular show. Or, I love candy. I don't hear my kids very often say that I love vegetables, but I do hear my wife say it. All of these ways that we use the word love sound nice, but they're actually incorrect. See, those things that we love, like pizza or candy or vegetables, are all things. And you can't truly love a thing. We consume them, but they're not there's nothing that we actually convey to that item. We just use it, or eat it, or consume it. We don't actually show any actual love or affection to a particular item. The way that love should be defined is the way the Bible defines it, the way Jesus Christ defines it. He says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Well, he's defining love. Well, Christ loved the church. How did he love? Well, he died. He died for his people. He died to forgive them for their sins. He showed his love through his actions. He showed that he cared so much. And that's the thing about love. That its definition has changed over time. Well, there's a word that is essential to the understanding of Christianity, to the understanding of being a Christian. And a lot of folks will use this word, or they'll even do the action, and yet they won't understand what it truly means. Now, that word is justification. Now, the boys that are here tonight may never have heard the word or truly don't understand what it means, and yet they perform the action constantly. See, we justify ourselves. That's how we perform the word, even though we may not understand its definition. So when it comes to Christianity, why is it so important to understand justification? Well, we're going to look at that tonight. We're going to look at what we think it means, and then we're going to look at what the Bible says it means, and how that has a bearing on who we are before God. So let's talk about what we act like justification means. Even if you don't know what the word means, you still do it. Each one of us do it. And when we say we justify ourselves, what are we talking about? Well, what we're talking about is the idea that we make ourselves look or feel better because we've put someone else down. That's what we do. We say, I'm a good person. I'm right. I'm justified in my actions because so-and-so did this. My son Malachi may say, well, I was justified in what I did. I was right in what I did because Elijah did this to me. And therefore, he's making his wrong action seem right. You know, my mother, or actually more my grandmother, always used to say when I was a kid, two wrongs don't make a right. And for the longest time, I didn't understand exactly what she meant. Elijah, I'd like you to put the hymnal down, please. Okay. I didn't understand what she meant. Well, what she meant was, just because someone has treated me wrong and done something wrong to me, doesn't then give me the right to do something wrong as well. It doesn't justify my behavior. It doesn't make my behavior right. No matter how badly someone has treated me, it does not give me the right. It doesn't make me right to then treat them badly. It doesn't justify me at all. It doesn't make my actions right. You know, that's how we constantly think as human beings. We constantly want to take revenge. We constantly want to do things that will make ourselves look better. That will say, you know what, I was right in my actions. I was right to do what I did. Even though in our hearts we know it was wrong. We do that with driving all the time. At least we always did it in the States. I think people here seem to be following the speed limits much more here in England. But in the States, we constantly would drive fast. Well, all the people around me are driving fast. And so it makes it justified that I'm going the same speed they are. Well, we were all breaking the law. It didn't make it right. It just made myself feel better. by saying they're driving fast too, so I can drive fast. I had heard of a man who had found out that his wife was cheating on him for many, many years. She was going with other men, and he found out about it. And so he went and did the same thing and felt that he had done the right thing. No, he did the wrong thing. His actions were just as wrong as her actions were. Just because she did it to him doesn't mean it's okay for him to do the same thing. Just because someone treats you badly doesn't mean it's okay for you to treat them badly. That's called moral relativism. That it's okay for me to do it, but it's not okay for someone else to do it. That's what we do constantly in this world today. We justify ourselves. Well, it becomes even more of a problem when each person feels that they're justified, that they're good enough to make it into heaven. You see, we have this concept. We have this idea that, at least in the States, I'm not sure if in England it's this way or not, but in the courthouses in the States, there will be a statue of a woman. And she'll be standing there and she'll have a set of scales in her hand. Yes, come on in.
Here.
She'll have a set of scales in her hand. And this set of scales will be weighing the evidence on the right hand and the left hand. And she'll have a blindfold on. And that's supposed to be that she's blind to the evidence until it's weighed on those scales. And when the evidence balances out, the people will be able to tell whether there's guilt or whether there isn't innocence from the evidence that's been seen. The Bible doesn't speak that way about justification. God is not blind to what we do. He sees our hearts. In the passage that I read in Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 14, we have the story of the Pharisee and the publican. So here it says, "And he spake this parable, speaking of Jesus, unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous." They had justified themselves, but they despised others. Well, that's how we constantly justify ourselves. We make ourselves feel better about the wrong actions we've done by saying, well, they're worse than I am. This person's worse than what I did. Their actions are so much more worse than me. Well, he says, two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. If you had been living in that day, you would have said the Pharisee is the righteous person and the publican is the sinner. The publican is the one that's doing all the wrong and the Pharisee's doing all the things that are good. But listen to what the Pharisee says. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. He made himself look pretty good, didn't he? He said, I'm pretty good. I've done all these good deeds, and I'm not as other men are. I don't sin like adulterers. I don't sin as those that steal. I certainly don't act like this publican who takes other people's money. I'm pretty good. And I thank you that I'm pretty good. I do these good things. I fast. I pray to you. I give you tithes. I give back of what you've given to me. It made himself feel pretty good about himself. While the publican, he said, the publican standing afar off would not lift up so much as his eyes into heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus said, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. You see, he had justified himself. He made himself feel better. Did it change anything about him? No. Didn't change anything about his standing before God. And that's what justification is. It's a legal term about how we stand before God. Are we guilty or are we innocent? So what's the question? Are we justified? You know, we can make ourselves feel better by saying I'm not as bad as so-and-so. You know, we've seen some horrible things in the news recently. And I can say, I didn't do that. I haven't committed that crime. I haven't sinned like that person has done. But if I'm honest with myself, if I look at my heart, I know the lies that I've wanted to tell or that I have told. I know the desires of my heart. And they're not always good, are they? They're not always right. And so I have to say that I'm a sinner. So how can I be justified? How can I be justified as a sinner? And then how does God justify sinners? You know, we always think of a courthouse. We always think of the judge sitting on the bench. And that this judge knows what's right and wrong. And he's going to follow the law. He's going to follow what's right. And he's going to weigh the evidence. And he's going to say, this person is guilty or this person is innocent. Well, how can I stand before God, who is holy, who is just, and expect him to justify me, to declare me innocent, when I know that I'm a sinner? When I know the wrong that I've done? The Bible calls our works filthy rags. Our good things that we've done are the filthy rags. That's not the bad things we've done. Well, one of the reasons we don't necessarily have a good view of God's justice. God is holy and just. In 1 John 1:5, it says, "This then is the message which we have heard of him, and to declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." You know, what does light do? It shines in the darkness. It makes the dark flee, doesn't it, Elijah? It makes the darkness flee. And everything shines brighter. Look at the difference between the nighttime and the sun and sunshine. Even look at the difference between a cloudy night and a cloudy day. And yet the sun, we don't see it, but the light is still shining. What a difference light makes. Well, God, it says that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. There's no sin in God's presence. In Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 5, it says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." You see, Elijah, if we stood before God in our sinful state, we'd be consumed. We couldn't stand before him, because he's so pure and holy. He's such a burning fire. The Bible calls him so holy, and then it says we have to be holy. In 1 Peter 1:15 and 16 it says, But as he which called you is holy, so be holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, Be holy, for I am holy. That's what God requires of us. If you expect to stand before God, you have to be holy. You have to be pure. You have to be without sin. Well, that seems to create a problem, doesn't it? That seems to create a large problem, because we know that we're sinners. The Bible clearly tells us that, and if we're honest with ourselves, we recognize that. The Bible says in Romans 3, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The wages of sin is death, it tells us in Romans 6. And in Romans 3 it says, "Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God." See, we're all guilty. So again, it comes to the question, if we're guilty, how can we be justified? It's not an action that we perform ourselves, so how can it happen? And here's the clincher. Even if you think you've only done one or two things wrong, and you're thinking that you're going to weigh the balances and you're going to come out okay, in James chapter 2, he tells us, "For whosoever shall keep the whole law," he's done everything right, Elijah, "and yet it will offend in one point, he is guilty of all." He's guilty of the whole law. And you say, well, how can that be? How can it be that if I've just sinned one time in my life, which I don't think any of us can actually say we've done it just once, but even if it was just one time, how can I be guilty of all? It took a long time for me to wrap my mind around that the first time I heard it. And the best way I can do is to illustrate it, is to say, imagine yourself, you've been thrown into a very, very, very deep, dark pit. And maybe you've fallen into the pit. And no one knows you're there, and you've been there for days. But then someone finds you. Someone sees you down in that pit. And they have a bucket attached to a chain. And they throw that bucket down in that pit to help you out. And you climb into that bucket, and they start pulling you out with that chain. Does it matter to you if one link in the chain breaks or 50 links in that chain breaks? You're going to fall right back down into that pit. No matter how many links in the chain break, one's enough. It doesn't take 50. That's the idea. One sin is enough to keep you from heaven. It doesn't take 50, although to say that you haven't sinned 50 times would be a sin in and of itself. None of us can say that we love God as the Bible says we ought to. None of us can say we love our neighbor as we should. And yet those are two sins we don't think about. We think of the lies, of the stealing, of the cheating, speeding too fast in our cars, all these minor things that we think of as sins. The two greatest sins would be not loving the Lord, not loving our neighbor. We're not fulfilling the law if we're not doing those two things. Yet we don't hardly think about those. And so it's clear to us that then we need to be justified. But we can't do it. We can't do it in and of ourselves. Well, it's good for us to recognize what the Bible calls the definition of justification. If you looked in a common dictionary, I looked into the common dictionary, and there were four definitions. The first was to prove or show to be just, right, or reasonable. That's what we do for ourselves constantly. We try and justify ourselves. We're trying to prove that we're right or we're reasonable. The second definition is to absolve, to take away. The third is to make righteous. But see, the fourth one is what the Bible calls the definition, to release from the guilt of sin and accept as righteous. See, the definition has two parts. Number one is not just to say to take away sin. There's two parts. It's actually to be taking away sin and then also being declared righteous. Not only that you haven't done the bad things, but then also that you have done the good things. So how is it possible? How is it possible for God to say to me, who am a sinner, you know, you're not a sinner, and you are righteous? When the Bible says my righteous deeds are as filthy rags. How can God be just and justify the sinner? Well, the Bible says that he does. In Romans 3:26 it says, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. That's the answer. That's the answer. Jesus is the answer. See, God is just and he is not going to change that. He is not going to set aside his holiness to let me into heaven. He's not going to do it. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He will be just when I stand before him. He will be holy when I stand before him. So the only way for him to be just and to justify sinners was to send a replacement for the sinners. That's the only way possible. Well, would any replacement do? Obviously not. I couldn't ask someone else to die for me. Some other man to die for me, who's done the same things I've done, his death would do me no good. It would require somebody that was holy. Someone that died without sin. And that had a righteousness of his own. And that's exactly what Jesus Christ did. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it says, now then we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. Well, how can we be reconciled? He tells us, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. You see, Jesus Christ, who was sinless, who was holy, who was righteous, died on the cross in my place, took my place, died a sin, died a death that I should have died. And by doing so, for those that trust him, those that believe in him, he gives them his righteousness. So that when I stand before God, God is going to look at me as he looks at his son. No longer as he looks at who I truly am. He's going to see his son in me. He's going to see the fact that his son didn't sin. And his son had righteousness. Had righteous deeds that I don't have. And he's going to impute those things to me. Because of my trust, of my belief in his son Jesus Christ. Charles Spurgeon said it this way. A Christian would stand before God as Christ. Because Christ stood before God as you. You see, Christ died a death he shouldn't have died. He died a death that I should have died. He stood before God as I would have. And said, I've taken his sin upon me. And I'm giving him my righteousness. So there had to be a substitute. There had to be a taking away of my sin. That's why God can declare me righteous. Not because I've been righteous. He can declare me justified, not because I'm just, but because of His Son, Jesus Christ. Because of what He did. So how's that applied? How do I become justified? Well, hopefully you've heard a little bit of it already. Romans 5:1 says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The answer then is faith in Jesus Christ. That's where you find it. But faith has to be placed in the right place. That doesn't make sense with two places on there. It has to be put in the right spot. You know, you can have faith in a lot of things. You have faith in the chair you're sitting in right now, that it will hold you. You have faith that you're going to have another meal tonight. That's fine and good, but that's not going to save you. Saving faith is placed in Jesus Christ. You must trust Him. You must cling to Him. Believe upon Him. Trust His work on the cross. That someone who was holy and sinless and righteous died for you. And believe Him. And ask Him to forgive you. Because He didn't stay in the grave. He had victory over that sin and death. He rose from the dead on the third day, showing that He had that victory. And that's the answer. Is trusting that action. Trusting that person who did that for you. Saying, "I trust You, Lord." It's not something that's intellectual. A lot of people know the facts, and yet don't believe them. Even some people that claim to be Christians know the facts and don't believe it. They may say it, they have an intellectual agreement, but it's not in their heart. You know, the Bible says that the devils believe, but they're scared. They know, they have a knowledge of it. They have a knowledge of Jesus Christ. Well, sure they do. And they know exactly who He is. They know exactly what He did. But see, they can't trust Him. That's something that you can do, Elijah. That's something you can do, Isaiah. Malachi. That's something each one of us can do. We can trust. We can believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can be justified because of it. You know, there's an amazing victory when you trust Him. You say, well, what else is necessary? Nothing else is necessary but faith, but trust, belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to this quote from J.C. Ryle. He says, "Besides this faith, nothing whatever is needed for a man's justification. Beyond doubt, repentance, holiness, love, humility, prayerfulness will always be seen in the justified man, but they do not in the smallest degree justify him in the sight of God. Nothing joins a man to Christ, nothing justifies, but simple faith. To him that worketh not, but believeth on Him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." We conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. And those last two were quotes from Romans 4:5 and Romans 3:28. You see, you can't be justified by your own actions. You add anything to Christ, and Christ's work is of none effect. You add something to Him. So your little action, 99% Him and 1% you, there's no saving faith there. You have to put all your trust there. All your faith there. See, there's many people that will say, and they'll say it all the time, you'll hear it constantly. You'll hear it about people that go to church. And they'll say, well, there's just at least you do it here in the States, they're just a bunch of hypocrites. A hypocrite is a person who says one thing and does the exact opposite. Says you should be doing the right things, and yet does all the wrong things. That's a hypocrite. Well, they would look at someone that goes to church and say that church is all full of hypocrites. They say you should do this, and yet they turn around and do that. Well, people in church fall. They sin. We're not perfect. But we certainly don't go around hoping to sin or trying to sin. What's the difference? What's the difference between a justified person and an unjustified person? Well, it's faith in Jesus Christ. J.C. Ryle again says in his book, The Old Paths, about a justified person, is he not naturally a poor, weak, erring, defective sinner? He is. None knows that better than he does himself. But notwithstanding this, he is reckoned complete, perfect, and faultless before God, for he is justified. Is he not naturally a debtor? He is. None feels that more deeply than he does himself. He owes 10,000 talents and has nothing of his own to pay. But his debts are all paid, settled, and crossed out forever, for he is justified. Is he not naturally liable to the curse of a broken law? He is. None would confess that more readily than he would himself. But the demands of the law have been fully satisfied. The claims of justice have been met to the last tittle, and he is justified. Does he not naturally deserve punishment? He does. None would acknowledge that more fully than he would himself. But the punishment has been borne. The wrath of God against sin has been made manifest. Yet he has escaped and is justified. Does anyone who is reading or listening to this know anything of all this? Are you justified? Do you feel as if you were pardoned, forgiven, and accepted before God? Can you draw near to him with boldness and say, Thou art my Father and my friend, and I am thy reconciled child? Oh, believe me, you will never taste true peace until you are justified. Where are your sins? Are they removed and taken away from off your soul? Have they been reckoned for and accounted for in God's presence? Oh, be very sure these questions are of the most solemn importance. A peace of conscience not built on justification is a perilous dream. From such a peace the Lord deliver you. So the question becomes, where are your sins? Where are they? Are they still upon yourself? Do you still carry them around each and every day? Will you still be carrying them around when you stand before God? Or have they been laid upon the Lord Jesus Christ? And are you justified? Truly justified? Not just making yourself feel better about yourself. No outward change taking place. No inward change taking place. But are you truly justified? Have you been washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? Has he taken away your sin? Has he forgiven you? The only one who can answer that is you and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's between you and God. But it's a question that has to be answered. It's the most important question to answer in your life. And we point you to Jesus Christ. Trust him. Ask him for forgiveness. Ask him to take away your sins. Place your faith in him. And then you will be justified. Not just a simple one of making yourself feel better, but a true justification before God, where he declares you righteous because of what his Son Jesus Christ did. We point you to him.